Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome to Can't Read, Can't Write. Thank you for listening and downloading this podcast. It's Bill and Alyssa. I got some feedback about a podcast that we did, I think it was 2 weeks ago. The one about Cleveland legends.
Oh, yeah, that was 2 weeks ago.
We talked about mostly people in Cleveland media that mm-hmm. we looked up to, that inspired us in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through a list of names. I don't think there was any way to include everybody on the list. So I think we kept it mostly to Cleveland legends who meant something to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone sent me a message and said, you missed a legend.
Who did we miss?
You missed Drew Carey.
Dude, we did.
And what I responded was, I said, I don't disagree with legend status for Drew Carey. I said, he just isn't a personal legend for me.
You've talked about how much you love Drew Carey.
I did?
I feel like you have done that. Have you not? Maybe I'm imagining things.
Well, I do have Drew Carey stories.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
One is a story, one is half of a story.
Okay.
So here's my Drew. So Drew Carey is I don't think he ever graduated, but he did attend Kent State.
I knew that.
Okay. Let's find out when that was. Drew Carey, Kent State. Because I don't know what years those were.
Might have been while you were there.
No. You stop it right now.
How old is he?
He's 66 years old.
Oh, never mind. Why did I think he was younger than that?
I don't know.
Don't listen to anything that comes out of my mouth.
Let's see if I can find it quick. He graduated high school. Drew Carey graduated high school in 1976. So we're talking late 70s.
Okay.
That he was on the campus of Kent State. And I don't believe that he graduated from Kent State.
I mean, why do you even need to when you're Drew Carey?
Okay, let me jump to his Wikipedia, because actually something just jumped out on his Wikipedia that I don't even think I knew. He continued on to college at Kent State, was a part of Delta Tau Delta fraternity. He was expelled twice for poor academic performance and left Kent State after 3 years.
Wow.
And then he went into the Marines. And I didn't know that. I didn't know Drew Carey was in the Marines for 6 years. And then moved to Los.
Oh, it's this house. I had to look up the. It's DTD. I see.
You know the house that Drew Carey lived in?
Oh, yes. Yes, I frequented this house.
All right. So, Drew Carey. Even though he didn't graduate, he did spend 3 years. And I believe that Kent State still means a lot to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was going to Kent State, and this would have been in the mid-90s, late 90s, at least one time he came back to Kent.
Really?
And the only reason that I know this is because There was one time I was at Ray's and I was up at the upstairs bar, in the upstairs bar. And it's just a typical Friday night. I'm with my friends. I don't think it's that crowded at that point.
Uh-huh.
I go up to the beer and I, or go up to the beer. I go up to the bar and I order a beer.
Uh-huh.
And the bartender hands me the beer and I am ready to hand him like a $5 bill or whatever. And he's like, no, this one's free. And I said, why is this beer free? He said, Drew Carey's downstairs. He just bought the entire bar a round of beer.
I bet it was probably only like $200-$300 too, which is the crazy part about it.
As the legend goes, as the story has been retold many, many times, he walked into Ray's and he went down to the bottom bar, slapped down $1,000 and said, everybody drinks on me.
Wow. That's actually a lot more than just the buying the whole bar. I feel like that's buying enough drinks for like at least a couple hours for everybody.
I think so.
Yeah.
But I had my free beer. And then since my friends were upstairs, we kind of snuck our way downstairs. Not that you had to sneak around. We were allowed to go downstairs. But we just popped our heads down to see mm-hmm. what was going on. And there he was. He was at the bar. At the downstairs bar at Ray's, but there was a whole crowd of people surrounding him.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was probably swarmed.
So we did not go downstairs. We just stayed upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
We did not try to meet him or get a picture. And I don't even know how you got pictures in the 90s if we had our disposable Kodak cameras with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, how do you do that?
Which we did not. So, yeah, there were no pictures. There's no way to document what happened that night. But that's exactly what happened. So Drew Carey, at least one time in my life, bought me a beer.
Honestly, pretty cool. I can't say that.
Now, I do remember this, and this really isn't a story, but have you ever seen an episode of the Drew Carey Show?
Like when I was way younger, yes, but I don't really remember. Like they're in an office. I remember like the one woman character that has like the crazy makeup
yes.
I always loved.
Yeah.
I don't really remember too much else, though.
It was a pretty good show. I was a fan of the show.
Uh-huh.
And so where Drew Carey worked in the show, it was supposed to be a department store.
Mm-hmm.
And they used the exterior of the Halle building as the department store where Drew Carey worked.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't know that.
Just the exterior.
I mean, still.
That's another. Where did Drew Carey work? Where did Drew Carey work? Because I'm trying to remember the name of the department store. Work on. My fingers are so fat. I have to retype words so many times on the show. He worked at the Winfred Lauder department store on the Drew Carey Show. So that would. Obviously, that is not the name of the Halle Building department store. That was just a fictional name of the department store. But they used the exterior shots of the Halle Building.
That's pretty cool. I never knew that.
And I don't remember what year it was, but they needed to film a new open to the Drew Carey Show. So back then on TV sitcoms, they would have like these long 4-minute intros
yeah.
of the 30-minute sitcom. And he used the Cleveland Rock song.
Of
Cleveland
course.
Rock.
Iconic.
Right. And so one year he filmed like a bunch of locations around Cleveland. They were at back then Jacobs Field, now Progressive Field.
Mm-hmm.
They went to places all over Cleveland and just shot a bunch of B-roll. Well, at the end of the open to the Drew Carey Show, he's at Shooters.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of dancing out on the deck at Shooters. And then that's how it ends. Like everybody's arms are up in the air and they're like, Ohio,
yeah.
Ohio. And it's nighttime and you see the Cleveland skyline in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say this is right around 1997 that they filmed this. And it was pretty cool because whoever was behind putting this all together, the shooting of this open for the Drew Carey Show, they needed a bunch of extras to be at Shooters that night.
Oh.
So we actually gave them away on the radio station.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
It was like, caller 14 right now, you get inside Shooters on so-and-so night, and you're going to be an extra to shoot this thing. And they, so we sent a bunch of listeners down there. And
oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I wish that like we still had stuff like that to even do. But like what sitcoms even do opens like that
anymore? Exactly. That's something that goes away. Like there are so many sitcom opens that I'm a fan of from mm-hmm. the 80s and even from the 90s. I mean, there are iconic ones at Full House.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's so many, you know, from... Yeah, they just don't do them anymore. And you know why? Because they want to fit more commercials into a 30-minute sitcom. That's the only reason why those are shorter now.
Really? That's why?
They want to fit more content and more commercials inside a 30-minute episode. So they just shortened
the show. Well, I know that, like, for the most part, like, 30-minute episodes of, like, anything, when you go and, like, stream them now, they're generally about 22 minutes. Mm-hmm. So there's like 8 minutes of commercials woven throughout.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, taking 4 minutes out of 22 minutes, now your episode is only 18 minutes long. Like, that's a long time to take away.
Yeah, it probably started in the 2000s, mm-hmm. early 2000s, like Lost. Like, Lost was only... It was just the logo coming at you, and it took like 10 seconds.
I know, yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, we... Those are my Drew Carey memories.
That's two more than I have. So cherish those.
See, you know what's the disconnect with me and Drew Carey right now is this. My favorite all-time game show in the world is The Price is Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't watch it with Drew Carey.
Why? I think he's actually like fantastic.
I'm glad you do. But I was such a fan of Bob Barker.
Oh, we all were. But like... It was time for him to... The man needed a break, you know?
Who? Bob
Barker.
Well, he's also dead.
Well, yes, but like he retired before he died.
That's
did
true.
He not?
He did retire.
Yes.
He died. I just can't... I can't watch Price is Right without Bob Barker.
Yeah, it is tough. It's not the same.
It's not the same. And that's why I... And so I... For me, The Price is Right is never going to be the same. And I can't watch it anymore.
Oh, that's a shame.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, you should try to look at it through like a different lens of just it's never going to be the same. But
I can't.
Okay.
I can't look through it through a different lens.
All right, maybe something to bring up with a therapist, but what do I know?
I can't give it up. So we do have a theme on today's episode, and that is first concert that we ever attended. And there's actually a couple of reasons why we're talking about it on the podcast. One is because there was a reference to the artist this morning on the show. And speaking of sitcoms, we were talking about Dave Coulier
mm-hmm.
on the show this morning. And
when we're recording this.
Yes. It was very sad because it's been announced that Dave Coulier has cancer. Specifically, is it bone marrow?
Stage 3 Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Okay. Now I got to look that up because I want to be accurate. Dave Coulier... stage 3 non-Hodgkin lymphoma.
That is important. No, okay. I just said Hodgkin's lymphoma, but the non, I assume that makes a difference. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
So we talked about Dave Coulier, and then we talked about Full House, because Dave Coulier is Uncle Joey on Full House.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started talking about how Dave Coulier used to date Alanis Morissette. And then we talked about that whole connection, where the song You Ought to Know is, as legend goes, about Dave Coulier. She wrote that about her relationship with Dave Coulier.
It's just really difficult for me to believe that. Like, I'm not discrediting it at all. I'm not saying that it's not true. But I look at Uncle Joey and I'm like, You Ought to Know is about this guy? Like, in his little Hawaiian shirts? Are you serious?
The song doesn't fit the profile of it.
No.
Uncle Joey.
Not at all.
But of course, he's not Uncle Joey in real life. He's Dave Coulier, but we know him as Uncle Joey. Anyway, just from talking through all that, it made me remember that Alanis Morissette was my first concert.
Oh, okay.
And I was a student at Kent State when I went to go see that concert. So I'm going to tell that story coming up. First, though, we want to hear about Alyssa's first concert, because it wasn't in college, was it? Did you wait until college to go to your first concert?
Definitely not.
When was your first concert?
2001. So I was 7.
7 years old in 2001.
I was 7.
Okay. So let's see. Some of the biggest artists in 2001. And you were seven. So it had to have been an artist that appealed to the younger audience.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's not entirely true because, like, I really loved, like, Bush and, like, Stone Temple Pilots when I was that young, too. I know, it's crazy.
Really?
I did. And Offspring as well. But, no, this is somebody that actually did appeal to the youngins.
Okay, I'm going to say 2001. I'm going to guess Backstreet Boys.
You're so close, but no.
NSYNC?
Yes. Yes. But the kicker is, do you know who was opening?
For for NSYNC in 2001?
Mm-hmm.
Man, no. 98 Degrees.
Mm-mm.
No, okay, I don't know.
Britney motherfreaking Spears.
No way.
Yes. It was probably, I don't even think she was opening. It was probably a co-headline tour.
Yeah, it had to have been.
But it's the time when I'm pretty sure Britney and Justin Timberlake were still dating.
Yeah, because Hit Me Baby One More Time came out in 99.
Yeah. So, there's like, she was already huge.
Yeah, she would not be opening for anyone.
But I do remember, I think I remember her opening, not opening, but playing before NSYNC did.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in my brain, I'm like, she opened. But it realistically, it was probably a co-headlining tour. Sorry.
You know what makes me so sad right now?
What?
Is that I probably gave you the tickets for NSYNC. Did you win them off Q104?
Nope, because we did not win them.
We were giving away NSYNC tickets in 2001 and Backstreet Boys. Oh my God. I was giving away tickets for NSYNC and Backstreet Boys in 2001. You were 7 years old.
And that was my first concert.
Going to the show.
Eee!
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was so at the Browns Stadium.
Okay.
And so there's...
I think I remember this. I remember this because we did this party at the Velvet Dog.
Were you at that concert? I wonder.
No, I didn't go to the show. But we gave away, we were doing some party at the Velvet Dog and just giving away tickets for people. And then they would just win the tickets and then walk down the street and go to Brown Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yep. So that was my first concert. While Bill goes ahead and has a midlife crisis, I'll tell the story. So I went with my mom and also one of my mom's like friends / coworkers. Him and his son, who was six, came.
Let me ask you this. Do you remember when you found out that you were going to go to this show? Did they tell you in advance? Was it some sort of an elaborate surprise? Do you remember any of that?
We definitely knew that we were going.
Okay.
But, like, I don't remember how we found out or anything. Honestly, I don't even know if they bought these tickets, and you'll understand why. I know we didn't win them on Q104, mm-hmm. but I don't know if they actually bought the tickets or if they were just given the tickets. We'll get there in a second.
Gotcha.
But basically, so it's me, seven, and my six-year-old friend, him and his dad, and me and my mom. So there's four of us.
Gotcha.
And we are driving down there, and obviously, you know, our parents are up front, and the two of us hooligans are in the back. And we're driving to downtown Cleveland. And as we are driving through downtown, my mom's friend keeps making jokes. And I want to really specify that it's a joke. I, in my seven-year-old brain, just like didn't really realize that. He kept saying like, oh, I bet she's 18. I bet she's 18. You think that girl's 18? As we're driving and seeing all of these girls heading toward mm-hmm. the Brown Stadium. And so then we get out of the car and we're heading into the show. And me and my loud mouth, I've always had a loud mouth, even since I was a wee little gal. And me and my friend are just like, hey, do you think she's 18? She might be 18. And we're like doing it in public. And they're like, stop. No, stop it. Oh, my God. No, you can't say that. Like, but we just thought it was funny and like we were just trying to play along with the joke. But yeah, so definitely a younger crowd for sure.
I thought you were going to say they were doing jokes like, oh, my God, I forgot the tickets at home. Sorry, kids. I guess we're not going to see NSYNC and Britney.
They might have tried to make that joke too, but the Ishii 18 one, that's the one that really stuck with me. And like I said, me and his son were both doing it loudly.
Yeah.
And they like we kept kind of doing it like most of the night, I think. And they were getting annoyed with us. Anyways, though. I'll be so honest. I don't remember much about the show. I do know that like their album Pop, I think had like just come out. And I still think that that's a great album. Mm-hmm. It was one of my favorites at the time. I had the CD and everything. But one of the biggest things about this concert that I do remember, we had really good seats. And one of my mom's clients, actually, she had like corporate clients. And one of her clients was the security company that worked at the Brown Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the guys that she knew that she worked with came over and was like, hey, like, I guess she must have talked to him beforehand and been like, yeah, my daughter's such a huge fan of NSYNC, blah, blah, blah. He came over in the middle of the show, this big security guy, and he was like, hey, I can take them backstage.
Oh, my God.
Just the kids. And we were like deer in headlights. I was like, what? Like, this is Stranger Danger written all over it. So, I mean, after, like, literally my mom, like, trying to scream over the music, be like, just go. I know this guy. He's fine. Just go. I'm like, uh-uh.
Oh, you were too scared.
I was too scared. We didn't freaking go
backstage.
I could have met Justin Timberlake. I could have been his wife. Like, what?
Let's not jump to let's not get too far ahead of ourselves here.
Well,
you were 7 years old. He was a grown adult at that time.
Technicalities. I'm just saying. I would have had a much better chance of making that happen had I gone backstage than I did by not going backstage.
Justin, stay in touch with me.
I know, right? Give me 11 years.
11 years.
Yeah, so that was my first concert. I like I said, I don't remember a whole lot.
Like, you don't remember songs? Do you remember songs? Do you remember?
I, like, vaguely remember Bye Bye Bye. But I don't really remember too much of it, but I do remember like looking at that guy and being like, I don't want to, yeah. I don't know you.
That's understandable. I mean, you're 7 years old.
No more than probably like a year or two later though, did I like seriously regret that decision.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, what? I'm never going to get this chance again. Like, what's wrong with me?
That's so funny.
So that's my story of my first concert. 7 years old.
Love that. Okay.
NSYNC and Britney Spears, and Bill was giving them away while he was working his adult job.
Yeah. So when I went to my first concert, I was 20 years old.
Wow. Late bloomer.
20 years old.
Why? Okay. So before we dive in, though, why did you wait so long to go to a concert? You'd already been working in radio.
Yeah. All right. I'll answer that question, and I will tell you about my first concert ever, 20 years old, 2005, Alanis Morissette, next on Can't Read, Can't Write.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck. I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Welcome back to Can't Read, Can't Write. We're talking about first concerts today on the podcast because my first concert happened when I was in college at Kent State University. It was 2005, Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill had come out. It was the biggest album of that year.
Oh, yeah. Where was it?
Where was the show?
Yeah.
Public Hall in downtown Cleveland.
Is that something else now?
That's a great question. I have no idea. Public Hall. Do they still have shows at Public Hall? I've seen a few shows there now. Yeah, it's Cleveland.
It's a thing still.
Cleveland Public Auditorium.
Huh. I haven't seen, I mean, I always keep up with concerts that are coming to town and I just haven't seen anything there in like ever.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on over there. I mean, it looks like it's still there. The building's still there. They can seat 10,000 in the main auditorium, 3,000 in the music hall. Because back then, I mean, she was big, but not massive. She wasn't Gund Arena massive.
Yeah.
Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse now.
Right.
But, I mean, coming on pretty strong back then. So the reason that I don't think I attended a concert before 1995 and I waited till I was 20 is I think it's just a bunch of reasons. I think it's geography, really.
That makes sense.
I grew up in a small town in the Dover, New Philadelphia area. Mm-hmm. Nobody really came through the Dover, New Philadelphia area for a concert.
Yeah.
And if they did, you've never heard of them.
And the closest you would probably have anybody coming is Akron.
You know what? Tiffany came to the Bag and Save in New Philadelphia when, like, in the 80s.
Who's Tiffany? Is Tiffany, like, a
She
artist?
Was an 80s pop artist. I think we're alone now.
Oh.
It doesn't
She just went
to
by
be...
Tiffany?
Yeah.
What a world. The world was simpler back then.
But she didn't perform a concert or anything. She just came to the Bag and Save to sign autographs.
How fun.
I think it's a combination of that and the fact that my parents would really have had to gone out of their way to get me to a show because, you know, Blossom Music Center was too far away. I don't think any big acts were coming to Canton. Yeah, you're right. Akron, Richfield Coliseum, Cleveland. It's too much.
Yeah.
You know? Too expensive.
Too far.
Too much for my parents. And I don't even know who I would have gone to see. Like I was into music, but I don't think I was really into concerts yet.
Okay. That's fair.
So in 1995, when Alanis Morissette was coming to Cleveland, at the time I was working at WKDD in Akron and I was working nights. So I had to take the night off.
Oh, wow.
My boss had to give me the night off so I could go to the show. And I went to the show with my friend Amy Dunn, who I haven't talked to in God knows how many years. But she worked overnights at the radio station and we were friends. So we decided to go together. And she brought her husband, Bob. And so since she was bringing her husband, I thought that I needed a date.
Oh.
So I asked a girl who I knew casually and was dating like a friend of mine for a while, but they were no longer dating. And I asked my friend, is it okay if I ask this girl to go to Alanis Morissette? And he said, yeah, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked her to go and she agreed to go to the show with me. So what happened is she ended up driving over to my apartment and Bob and Amy are there and we go up to my apartment and we have a little pregame session there.
Okay.
And After that, Bob is the one who drove, so we drove in his car. So he and Amy sat in the front seat, and I sat in the back seat with this girl's name who I can't even remember. I don't remember her name. But I'm trying to make conversation. We're at the back seat, and it's not going very well.
Oh, no. When was the last time that you had talked to this girl before this concert?
I don't know. A couple of days, I guess?
Oh, okay. I thought it would be longer.
Like I said, we were casual friends.
Okay.
I think we had some classes together. I knew where she lived, so I think I asked her. I think I had to knock on her door, her apartment door, to ask her to go to the show.
Oh, my gosh.
I had to ask her in person. But we're not vibing at all on the way up to the show. And it's a good, 45-minute drive?
Yeah, at least.
And so we're at Public Hall. I remember being at the show. I remember just standing next to her. There's really no way to get into a conversation when you're at a show.
Yeah, it's definitely not the time or place, but if the vibes are off, it just like you can still feel it.
It looked like she had a good time.
Oh, that's good.
On the way home, same kind of deal. You know, we were all excited and we were all talking about the concert, but she was again sitting next to me in the back seat, but we're not really talking to each other.
Just talking like as a group.
And I'm thinking, I have dreams and aspirations of of making out in the backseat on the way home. That's not happening at all.
Come on.
So we get back to my apartment complex, and Bob pulls into the parking lot, and the girl's like, well, thanks for a fun night. Bye. And then she jumps out of the car and heads to her car and goes home, and I never spoke to her again.
What?
And so the rest of the night was just us hanging out in my apartment and Bob and Amy talking about how this girl clearly only wanted to go see the show. She had zero interest in me.
So you didn't even continue a casual friendship after this?
No, I don't think I ever spoke to her again after that.
Okay, but how would she have known that you were going to ask her to go? It's not like she just like had an idea like, oh, if I keep being nice to him for a little bit, you know, maybe he'll get some tickets.
No.
Unless you did give that impression.
No, I just flat out asked her if she wanted to go to the show with me and she agreed to go. She must have been a really big Alanis Morissette fan.
Huh. Okay.
But zero interested in hanging out with me.
You got to at least be like polite about it. You have to at least like give like some polite laughter, like even when you don't think something's funny. You have to at least do that.
But would you use someone that you don't have any interest in just to use them to go to a concert that you want to see? Is that something? Like, I wouldn't even waste my time. Like, I can't think of a concert.
I had to, like, really think. It was for Panic at the Disco.
You went to go see Panic at the Disco with a guy that you had zero interest in. You only wanted to go see Panic at the Disco.
It's not that I had zero interest. I just knew that things were like not moving forward and that like he was definitely talking to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I like went into it knowing that like I'm probably not, because I was already like not really wanting to talk to him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I found out that he had an extra ticket, I was like, well, I'll hang on at least for this. But like I literally found like, I can't even say find. It was on like his kitchen counter, like bobby pins and a bracelet after I stayed. And I was like, oh, come on. You're not even trying to hide it. Like, geez, man. So I just knew that like that was not going to continue. But I was like, he do be having a ticket to see one of my favorite bands, though. So I'm going to go.
Where was the show?
It was in San Diego.
Oh, okay. All right. So this is fairly recent that this happened.
Like 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So it's a little while ago.
Gotcha. Yeah, so Alanis Morissette, whenever I hear one of her songs, it has deep meaning for me.
And it's a good thing that it's like angry love music, too. Like, it's like heartbreak rock. So, like, that's the perfect thing for you to have those memories to, I guess.
You Ought to Know is really about Dave Coulier, but to me, the song is about the girl who used me for an Alanis ticket.
Can you give me your best Alanis impression?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No.
Why?
I can't. I don't think that I would. It would be even close to sounding like Alanis. I want you to know.
Are you serious? That was actually really good. Like,
I can't even think of the words anymore. I'm happy for you. You took the extra ticket and you didn't even give me a kiss.
Oh, come on. What? She didn't even give you a conversation.
Another life lesson that I learned at Kent.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Boy, oh, boy. I can't wait until your boys come home and have these kind of stories to share with you. And it continues. And you're like, don't worry, son. A woman once used me for an Alanis Morissette ticket.
Well, do you think that I should tell them these stories?
Totally. Yes.
Oh, my God. Because, wait a minute. Now, I just had this conversation with Will, and I got to remember what it is. I'm sorry for, again, free associating when we're doing the podcast. But he just took something that Will said, and I said something, well, when I was a kid, and he's like, Dad, you've told me that a million times. It's like he didn't even care. What was it?
Well, have you told him that a million times?
I tell him stuff all the time. I'm always trying to relate to them, you know, and share my lessons, my life experiences, so they know that, A, maybe they'll feel less embarrassment or less shame if something happens to them, if they know that it happened to Dad. So
I do agree with that. I think that that's actually like my mom did that with me, and I always really appreciated it. And like, it always like made me feel better. Like any situation that I was in growing up, I felt like I could call her and talk to her. Like, so like, no matter how like personal, embarrassing, nothing, like she knows it all. So I think that it is a very good thing.
I just remember what it is, and it's nothing relationship related, but he was talking about how, because he has basketball tryouts next week. And I was telling him, I said, if you have tryouts, I bet the team, I said, I bet your coach will want to start having team practices, especially over the Thanksgiving break, because he's going to want to get as much work in before the season starts.
Yeah.
And he's like, do you think that the coach will call a practice on Thanksgiving Day? And I said, when I was in high school, my coach used to have practice on Thanksgiving Day. So I guarantee that.
No.
Yeah, we would have practice on Thanksgiving. Sometimes we would have games on the following, on Friday night. So, yeah.
Yes, but not on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so my coach would schedule a Thanksgiving morning practice.
What?
That was not unusual for my high school basketball coach.
Wow.
So I told that to Will, and he's like, Dad, you've told me that a million times, that your coach used to call practice. Like, I don't remember why I would have brought that up previously.
Just keep a mental tally, because I will say, as somebody whose mom tells her a lot of stories, I do totally appreciate them. And depending on how many times I've heard it, I'll just let the repeat. I'll let it loop. But like at a point, I'm like, okay, I gotta stop. I've heard it. I've heard it. I can't do it again. Like, so
yeah.
Just keep a mental note.
Yeah, he wasn't having it.
That's right. Crazy though. I keep me posted about the Thanksgiving practice because I've never heard of that.
Yeah, and yeah, it's not like a. It's
then
a
again.
Day.
I didn't play any like physical sports, so I cheered for basketball. And we certainly never had practice on Thanksgiving.
Well, what else would the kids be doing? I mean, otherwise they're just sleeping in and sitting around doing nothing. Why not go get an hour workout
on Thanksgiving?
In? Yeah, why not? I mean, it's
I'm watching the parade.
If the practice was scheduled during dinner, then that's a different story. But I'm talking like an 8 a.m. practice on Thanksgiving morning.
Yeah, I'm doing like a turkey trot. I'm watching the parade. I'm doing a lot of things. Like, I'm definitely not trying to go practice basketball.
Well, I'll keep you posted on,
yeah, let me know,
on what's happening. Thank you. We will end it there. Thank you for listening to this episode of Can't Read, Can't Write. We will talk to you next week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.